We just sung before the scripture reading was three lines from one of the Psalms, and we had a scripture reading from Psalms. We want to point out from that, in case I don't mention it later, that one of the most relevant things is to have the Word of God within us to help us overcome sin. But this morning we're starting a series of five lessons, and this first one is how the Bible is relevant to mankind. Of course, many people ask the question that you see up above, how can the Bible be relevant when it is thousands of years old? Well, I think we'll probably see some of the reasons and some of the ways that that is the case before we finished. We have arbitrarily designated the month of March as being a month to emphasize the Bible itself as well as Bible study. Next week, Lord willing, Brother Connor is going to deal with the Bible being the Word of God. But today we want to show how unique the Bible is by declaring its relevance to mankind. Many ancient religions existed throughout time. Few, however, are the books that claim to be inspired of God. And of those that make that claim, many are not relevant in the way that the Bible is. What are some of the most important questions that people ask about life? What are some of the most important questions that people ask? Well, number one, what is our origin? How did we come to be here? Second, why are we here? What is our purpose in being here? What happens when life is over? This is one that is very relevant to most people. Those are perhaps the three most important questions, but there are others that people ask, such as where did the races come from? Why do bad things happen to good people? There are entire books written on this subject. It seems to be of interest to most people. By what standards or morals or ethics should we have? What should we live by? Is there anything to live by? And seventh, are we born with a free will, or is our life all determined by something else? These are things that people frequently would like to have the answers to, and the Bible answers all of these and more besides. But the fact that we ask these questions shows the validity of what Jeremiah said over 2,500 years ago. And he acknowledged in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. And that's why we look for answers. That's why we seek answers. And those answers the Bible has. The very fact that we ask these questions shows that we don't know what the answers to these things are. So let's consider the very first question that we had a few moments ago. We're going to go through all of these this morning. And that question was, how did we get here? The Bible has an answer. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But now, how do men answer that? That's how the Bible answers that, and by the way, the rest of the Bible will explain in more detail how this came about, how that God, a spirit, not a person of flesh and blood, but he was able, because he is superior to the anything of a material nature, is able to create and manipulate the material world, which is of a lesser order than he is. But what do other people say? Well, there was this tiny firecracker, about an inch long, quantum fluctuation, that came from, well, we don't really know where it came from, but we know it was there. How do we know any of these things? This is just nothing but speculation, isn't it? And then somebody lit its fuse. No, we don't know who lit that fuse. But all of a sudden, boom! A big bang took place. That's what man has come up with on his own, apart from God. And so everything that we see came from this little ping pong ball size of matter. And that matter emerged, and when it exploded, the universe came into existence. And all of the matter that forms the planets and innumerable stars came forth from this explosion of something about like this. Now you know why it's called a Big Bang. To have something that small expand into something that vast. And, you know, after explaining all of this, some people think that the Bible has magical elements. I don't know anything more magical than this. The Magic Kingdom here in Orlando is nothing like the one that Bill Nye, the science guy, envisions as having created the world, or Carl Sagan. You can almost imagine him wearing a wizard costume and touching off that firecracker with a Harry Potter wand. And that truly is a fairy tale. But wait, if we call it science, maybe people will believe it. Well, that's man's explanation for the universe. But it gets worse. There was no guiding force, no plan, no explanation, no purpose in the Big Bang occurring. We are here because, according to this idea, the operation of natural forces. The earth was created randomly. We don't know where the matter came from. We don't know what caused it to explode. We don't have any pattern. Just somehow over millions, you know, we couldn't see it in 5 minutes' time. We couldn't see it in a year. But if we say it took millions of years, oh, well, that explains it. Anything can happen in millions of years, right? Well, that's the idea that, quote, scientists try to foist upon the rest of us. But the earth was created randomly. There's no purpose for our existence. I mean, it's just the result of this bang. We have no purpose. We don't know what happens after we die. Presumably, we just die and that's it. There are no moral standards. How do you get moral standards out of a Big Bang? That wasn't included in there. When the bang happened, there wasn't an instruction book that came with what should we do now. No, nothing like that. So we're just all here. We don't know why. We have no purpose. We don't know where we're going. Races are the result of evolution. We don't know why bad things happen to good people. And by the way, how can free will exist? Our lives must be determined by our DNA. What other explanation is there? And so there are no moral standards. There's no right and wrong. This is what man comes to as a result of his own thinking. No wonder we read the way of man is not in himself. He can't direct his steps. He doesn't have any instructions how to direct his steps. Thus, there is moral chaos. And what do we mean by that? Well, just take various moral issues. Up until 1973, abortion was wrong and illegal. Now, some claim that killing infants is the right thing to do. Prostitution is still considered to be wrong in most states, but not in Nevada. Most states have vice cops who arrest people for the practice, but it's legal in Nevada. Now, who's right and who's wrong? Well, we don't know. There's moral chaos apart from God. For the most of our nation's history, gambling has been considered a vice, but today it's legal in various forms in most states of the union, and in a few, outright gambling as much as you want to have is authorized. So apart from God, man has no moral compass. But God did create us, and he did provide morality for us, and it's recorded in many passages in the Old and in the New Testaments. We're not going to read all of these, but here are a few. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Colossians 3 has a long description of what a Christian should put off and what he should put on in the way of clothing. And Revelation 21, 8. These are just a few passages that God has given us. Morality comes from him. If we don't have God, we have moral chaos. But with God, we know what is right and what is wrong because he has defined it for us. Well, that takes care of number one and number six on the list of seven things that we've looked at. The Bible is relevant. The Bible is relevant in defining these things for us to be able to help us decide what is right and wrong. But let's go to question number two. Why are we here? Well, God gave us the gift of life, and he expects us to honor him for that reason. Thus, we have a couple of scriptures that we want to look at. Let's begin with Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. Isaiah 43 and verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Here we find out very succinctly that man is made to glorify his maker. And that's only logical. That only makes sense. Let's look also at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. This is a look at the throne of God in the book of Revelation. And in verse 11, all of the 24 elders had fallen down before the throne and cast their crowns, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So we acknowledge that God is our creator. And as a result of that, then, he is worthy of glory and honor and power. And so again, our purpose here is to glorify the Creator who made us. It is natural to honor the one who gave you life. It is also natural to honor the one who gave you spiritual life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new person because of being created in Christ Jesus. Is there anything, any responsibility that comes with that? Yes. Let's back up a couple verses to verse 15. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And so it is natural to honor the one who gave us physical life. It is natural to honor the one who gave us spiritual life and to live for him who died for us. So we are here upon this earth to honor God. Number three, what happens when this life is over? Well, there are two and only two groups of people: those who honor God in the way that he said, as they should, and those who choose not to. The laws of the commandments, the laws and the commandments that God has given us, are what? For our good. A fact which he told Israel when he gave them the law. He says, what does God require of you? That you should keep his laws, his commandments, his statutes, which he has given for our good. God didn't say, you know, I think I'll just test my power and tell them to do this. No, they were given for our good. They are in our best interests in order to keep these things. And Jesus said in John 6:63, that the words that I command you or speak to you, they are spiritual, they are life. The words of the Bible are life. They give life. There is nothing more relevant that we need to be concerned about upon this earth. But somebody says, well, I don't know. Do we really need to look at these things? Do we really need to study these things? Yes, I think so. Don't try to dismiss them, because Jesus said, he who rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. On the day of judgment, those who have loved and appreciated God by following his commandments will be rewarded by living in his presence forever. The unappreciative will be separated from his presence forever. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Do you want to be among those who are in his presence forever, or those who are separated from God's presence forever? Those who are separated will be in flaming fire. Jesus is going to come in flaming fire with his angels, and those who are not his shall be destroyed with everlasting destruction away from the presence of God. So which one sounds better to you? I look for bargains all the time. This looks like a bargain to me. To be able to be in the presence of God versus being separated from Him in eternal fire. Now let's come to the next point that we want to look at, and that is race. Most people want to know, where did the races come from? Well, there's a very easy answer to that. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. Acts chapter 17 and verse 26. This is part of Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, where the people were wholly given to idolatry in the city of Athens. But in making the point that he's wanting to make, and we won't read the entire sermon here, but we do want to look at the relevance of verse 26. And he, meaning God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Where did the races come from? God made them. That is the short answer. The differences between races are those outward differences. Inwardly, we all have the same types of blood. We all have souls that will stand before God in the judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. It may be that God created the races after the Tower of Babel to add to the division of languages, because race has certainly caused division as well. But whether that is the case or not, no matter when the time was that races began, they still came into existence from God, who made them from one blood. Now let's go on to question number 5. Why do bad things happen to good people? You can buy dozens of books that will attempt to give you an explanation to this, but since we don't have time to cover dozens of books, let's just be as succinct as we can. And that is that bad things happen to good people because of sin. We all have chosen to sin. That's not to say that every bad thing happens because of a specific sin that you commit, but the fact that we have freedom of choice is what allowed sin to come into the world. And it's because of your own free will or somebody else's free will that people suffer. Keeping God's commandments is for our good, but sin causes evil to come upon us. Not only the consequences of our own sins, but those of others. Now, you're familiar probably with Galatians, or at least the concept, if not the actual passage, of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. In those verses we read, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So there is a certain element of payback, but sometimes good people suffer because of the sins of other people, because maybe some of them are on drugs and maybe steal or kill someone to finance their habit, people who are innocent. Those who drive drunk have impacted severely the lives of innocent people by either maiming or killing them in automobile accidents. There are many times when somebody's suffering has nothing to do with his own particular sin, but that of somebody else. Now, somebody might say, well, wait a minute, though. What about tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and so on? Remember that when God finished creating the world, what did he say? It was very good. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. But that was before sin entered the world. When sin entered the world, things changed. But I don't believe, I could be wrong on this, but I don't believe that that's when hurricanes and such things developed. I think that grew out of man's excessive love for sin. And Genesis chapter 6 will give a couple examples of that. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the reason is stated for God destroying the world that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. No break. No excursions into goodness or anything like that. Only evil continually. Furthermore, we read in chapter 11 that the earth was corrupt before God and the earth was filled with violence. And so there was an excessive emphasis on sin in the entire world. Because of that excessive sin upon the earth, we read Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. The fountains of the deep breaking up, causing things to rise and fall, bringing up mountains, water from heaven coming down. All of this caused tremendous upheaval in the earth that I think led to the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and all those other things that we experience. It was sin and man's excessive love for sin that brought these things into the world. We really have nobody else to blame but ourselves for the existence of these things. But by obeying God, we can once again eventually enjoy living in a realm of certainty and safety. That realm is not here on earth. That realm is heaven itself. This world and all of the things in this world are going to be burned up, as we studied recently from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. The elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth and all things in it shall be destroyed. And we shall appear before God in judgment, as we have already mentioned. So there is no true safety and security on earth. We try, but people have ways if they really want to do us harm. But there is a place of safety and certainty, and we shall live there forever if we do what we were created to do, glorify God. The choice is yours. People do have free choice. We've been talking about the freedom of choice all morning and how we can choose to do what we want to do, or we can choose to disobey God and what He has commanded us. Heaven will be a marvelous place. People from all races will be in heaven. People from all classes of society will be in heaven. The rich, the poor, the educated, the uneducated. The Bible is the most relevant book that you will ever read. Now, these are the answers then to summarize. What is our origin? God is our origin. The very first book or words of the Bible proclaim that, meaning that it starts out in relevance. Second, why are we here? Honestly, to worship and honor and serve God, our Creator. Third, what happens when life is over? The judgment. Four, where did the races come from? From God. He created all mankind. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because of sin. Not necessarily your own. Sometimes it's the sins of others that cause you problems. By what standards or of morals or ethics should we have? God's. Otherwise, we're just making it up and we have moral chaos. But God's morality is objective. It comes from Him. It doesn't depend on what we think of last week or what we're going to think of next week. You know, at one time, abortion was illegal for decades. At one time, gambling was illegal across this country. At one time, nobody would have ever thought about legalizing prostitution. But now we have people who argue both sides, and they can't say the other side is wrong, not without God. Only God provides the answers to these questions of morality. And are we born with a free will, or is our life already determined by something? You know, actually, there's a religious form of determinism in the world. You have the idea saying, no, man doesn't have any free will. We're the result of our DNA. We're the result of those types of things. We can't be other than what we are. You realize what the results of that are? The child molester in prison shouldn't be there because he can't help being what he is. It's his DNA. This is nothing more than an excuse. This is nothing more than a cop-out. We do have free will. We're not the result of just our DNA. Sure, that figures into it, but it doesn't decide everything for us. Neither does our environment. Some people come out of a bad environment and make millions of dollars. Others are poor all their life. The environment alone does not determine that. Now, there's a religious form of determinism, and that's called Calvinism. You know, that basically says the same thing, that God made you exactly what you are, and he made you evil. That's hard to believe, isn't it? But that's what you have to believe Calvinism, to believe predestination, that everybody's already been determined. God determined your life before you were born. You can't do anything about it, good or bad. The only difference between that and worldly determinism is that they put God into the mix and made it his fault instead of DNA's fault. All of those are wrong. We have free will. We make decisions on our own every day, and we choose right or wrong. That's why, you know, when the people were in the land or going into the land and had conquered it, Joshua said, now you choose today who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods down in Egypt, the gods of the lands, or are you going to serve Jehovah who gave you this land? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We do have that decision to make. Why offer an invitation? Why does the Bible close by saying the Spirit and the bride say come and issuing an invitation if you haven't got the ability to respond to it? Of course you have. The ability to respond to the invitation of God. So yes, we are born with free will. The scriptures are relevant, and they have the power to save. The word is powerful. And it has the power to save you if you listen to it, if you study it, if you examine it, if you are persuaded by it that it is the truth and that you should follow it. The Bible is relevant, especially as it pertains to our future. Again, you have a choice between a world that is burning up and spending eternity in flaming fire or in the presence of God. If you miss heaven, you will miss everything that is important. Choose the right path. Choose the right ideology. Choose the truth, because it will serve you very well. This morning, if you have not obeyed the gospel, you have the opportunity to make that choice. And you have to repent of your sins. You have to confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself on the cross for your sins. You need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you need to live faithfully from here on out to be able to have this blessed security and safety in the eternal realm. If you've already obeyed the gospel but have not been faithful to that, come back, do those things that are right, live before God honestly and lovingly. If we can help you in either one of these aspects, let us know while we stand and while we sing.